being here for the sake of anything except Christ. He is the reason why we live. He is our hope. He is our life. Without Him, we are nothing. We should not neglect anything. We should not go out and do anything except do it for the, in the name of Jesus Christ. People look for health. Hey, I'm young. I have a little bit of background, but hey, I'm pretty healthy. People who are older and having your, my grandma just had a heart surgery. You know, people who have money and they get all that money just if they live a little longer. They get all these things just to live a little longer. You know, I'm like Uncle Norman. Hey, when the Lord's ready for me to go, I'm ready. Amen. I am not scared of death. For me to die is gain. That's when I speak to, people on the streets, I say, look, are you ready today to die? If you are, what will you be seeing? Who will you be facing? And what will His words be? Will it be, enter in, my son, well done? Or will it be, depart from me, I knew you not? Those things are interesting. But for me, to die is gain. I'm like Paul. I'm ready, Lord. Whenever your time is, I'm ready. Are we looking for fulfillment in life? These are all things people seek for, once again, my friends. They seek diligently for fulfillment in life and can never find it until they open the Word of God. Until they start reading and hearing about Jesus Christ. What He has done for us. Or maybe today you're looking for His will. This is the place where you should be. If you're today seeking for His will, oh God, people seek for things and forget one thing. Christ is the answer to everything that you're seeking for. Every single thing that you're seeking for, He is the answer. You have a question? Go to Him. You have a problem? Go to Him. You have a situation? He's the one. All we are messengers relaying His message. That's all we are. We are not any important people here. We should not be lifting ourselves up and say, oh, I've done so much for God. I have saved so many. I hope not. I hope not that you haven't saved very many. Because it's not us saving people. It's God saving. It's Him doing the work, not us. He is the answer. He was the answer for every single blind man He healed in the Bible. Where did He hear in the Bible where that blind man praised Peter or Paul for healing them? Every single blind man healed in the Bible lifted up God. Said, He is the one who healed me. Remember that blind man who said, I may not know everything, but I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. And that's Him right over there. He did it. Jesus Christ. He had no doubt. He wasn't thinking, well, was it religion? Well, did I have a plenty of faith? Well, was it all these extra things that I had added to that and made it better? No, it was all Him. You did nothing to gain that. You did nothing to deserve His mercy. If you're saved today, you did nothing for your salvation. And if you're not saved today, your good works will do nothing to add to His salvation. So many people try to think that if God gives 99%, I have to give my 1%. I have to do something, give something in return. No. He wants nothing but your faith. He wants you to put His complete trust in Him if you're seeking for Him. He was the answer to the apostles in the middle of the ocean, in distress, not knowing where to turn, sinking. You may feel that way today. You may feel that life is just too hard. What am I going to do? Which way am I going to go? I'm just sinking like a rock down to the bottom. If that's what you're feeling today, He is your answer. He is the one, the only one who will be able to lift you up. He was the answer for the woman of Samaria who sought earthly water and received from God living water. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we seek for things, and when we seek the right things, we get a lot more. In Psalms 23, we read, you know, that my cup overfloweth. It's just completely what we have, what God blesses us, He's giving more and more. But you gotta first trust in Him. You gotta first believe in Him. He is still the answer today, as He ever was then. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord, I change not. That's what the Lord said. He is today the same as yesterday and forever. He does not change. If He was good for them then, how much better is He for us now? He's good for you, my friend. If you're seeking for Him, He's good for you. You're not good, but He's good for you. He is your answer. My question is today, what do you need? What do you need so bad that you'll give your right arm for? That's an interesting phrase because the Bible says that if our right hand is hindering us from the gospel, we should cut it off. It's better to go to heaven without one hand than go to hell full body. So what would you give your right hand for? Worldly goods? Think about that. Think about the one man who went through, he did everything. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. 1:14 it says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He was the only one who could do everything. He did everything you think of. Every pleasure on earth, he did. He said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I did everything, and yet I lack so much. Those pleasures mean nothing to me. Vanity and vexation of spirit. Just completely just do it. Nothing, one bit. It's so frustrating that people think that this world is their home. That this is a place, and there's no more. Forget that there is a God. There is a God who will judge righteously. And if you do not live according to His word, He will judge you. My friend today, what do you need? Jesus is the one that you need. The only one you need. He is the meaning to your life. You want to have a meaningful life? You want to have fulfillment in life? Give your life over to God. Let Him lead you the way He ought to, instead of you lead yourself. I've talked to drunks. I've talked to guys who are on drugs and everything else. At the moment that I was talking to them, they were either taking it or drinking. And I said, look at yourself. I said, you're leading your life. How do you enjoy it so far? Are you having fun? Is this what you want? Is this what you were looking for from the very beginning? I was going to say, you know what? I don't know what to do anymore. I just do this just because I need to. Because I'm hooked. And I don't know what else to do. I said, now you led your life. I want you to get over to God. Let Him lead it. Let Him do the leading and you do the following. And He lead you through passive righteousness. He is the meaning to your life. Why do we say that? Why do we say He is the only meaning? Why not Muhammad? Why not Mary? Why not all these other people, these religious heroes? Why not them? Because He's the only one who died on the cross for our sins. He's the only one who paid the full price for us. In 1 Timothy 1:1, it speaks of our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. The more trust we put in ourselves, the worse we get. That's why people are in so much trouble today, because they put trust in man and in themselves. I can do it. I'm good. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. It's okay. I know what I'm doing. That's what little kids say, don't they? And they get into trouble. It's okay, Dad. I know what I'm doing. Don't worry about it. I can hear Caleb now when he gets older. Dad, don't worry about it. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, all right. Well, you get smacked across the head. Okay, there you go. You know what you're doing? And that's exactly how we are. Even if you're saved today, sometimes we just don't quite want to just get everything over. We hold a little back, like, I can take care of this side. You take care of that part, maybe that's a little bit bigger part than I can handle, but the rest I can. If He doesn't have all, then how can He bless you? If He can't lead you completely, how can He do that? How can He bless you at all? Like a little, I may have spoken this last time I was here, but pretty sure I forgot about it. It's been 3 years, so sometimes you forget from Sunday to Sunday what the preacher said last Sunday, right? So after 3 years, I know for sure you forgot. It's like a little boy learning how to ride his bike, has a little toy, and it's broken, and he wants his dad to fix it. So he gives it over. His dad tries fixing it, but he keeps getting in the way. Like, Dad, no, you have to do that, and you have to like, no, Dad, you do the other way. The dad just finally said, look. Either let me do it, or you do it yourself. But if you want me to do it and do it right, get out of my way. Stop hindering me, because I can't concentrate. See, that's what we are with God. We hinder Him. We start saying, God, you know, you take that part, I'll take my part. I can do my own part. He is our complete hope. He is our only hope. If Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Not through Mary, not through the Pope, not through Muhammad, not through whoever you think highly, but through Christ Jesus. He is our peace. Complete, utter peace. We think that we live in a peaceful land here in the United States, and it's possible. But you think of this. The moment we're in heaven, there'll be so much peace. It'd be beautiful. The sounds of silence, isn't it? Just beautiful. It'd be peace. It just, I can't even imagine it. My grandpa's favorite song before he died was one of, I'm not sure why he chose Mercy Me, but anyways, it happened to be, you know, I Can Only Imagine. And that is a good song. I can only imagine how it'll be in heaven. The peace of it all. He is our only truth. And we know this verse. I'm sure we all, the preachers, know it. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Now that is a good verse. And I love that verse, especially in talking to people. And they think that someone else is the way. Someone else has the truth. Someone else is the life. He is the only one. The only way. The only truth. The only life. You cannot get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He is the door, the branch. Without him, you are nothing. Basically, what I'm trying to do right now, I'm trying to see what religion doesn't do and what Jesus does. I'm trying to show you biblically verses that religion cannot comprehend. That religion cannot comfort you at all. Joy? He spoke of joy. Romans 5:11. Let's start verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We joy in Christ Jesus. We have peace. We have joy. Ultimate joy. The highest joy you can ever imagine is in Christ Jesus. People say, yeah, but when I get saved, I won't have as much fun as I had when I was young, when I was in my sin. Oh, my friend. If you weren't here last night, you should have heard Uncle John speaking up here. And we have a lot of fun. We have tons of fun. We laugh. We tell jokes. It's not that bad, my friend. It's even much better than you can even imagine. Much better. This world cannot even comprehend the joy that we have until they taste it of themselves. And then they say, you're right. You're right. I love it. And I want to stay. The love I was speaking about. We know the famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right. Classic verse. The love of God toward us, the love of God, me. Can we even comprehend that? If you today can say, well, of course she should love me. Why not? I never killed anybody. Well, if that's your excuse today for why God should love you, then my friend, you're a little mistaken. You got that all twisted around. God loves you because you're the chiefest of sinners, as Paul said. He loved me because I am the chiefest of sinners. I have nothing to give to him, yet he loved me. Returning to our text in John 1. One more thought before we get to there. We seek for these material things. But isn't there a verse somewhere in Matthew that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you? Yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We have things backwards. And that's like the human nature. Always backwards. Always going the wrong direction at the wrong time. Thinking that we go in the right direction. How many of you have gotten lost and thinking going the right direction? When I'm in a new city, I'm doing that all the time. When I get to a new city, I just think I'm going the right direction. I think, I don't know, but I just keep on going. I keep going the wrong direction until I'm out of town. I gotta go back. Oops. We go the wrong direction. We do things backwards. We start from the end and go to the beginning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. That's such a blessing right there. John 1, back to our text, verse 39, when they 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. My advice to you today is when you find Christ, when you seek his will, and you actually find it, come and stay. Come and stay. Don't come and say, you know what? That's not what I'm looking for. I don't know. Not very many people shook my hands. I don't know. It feels weird. If God is speaking to your heart, come and stay.
Amen.
And you know what? It's not kind of like this come and stay at our home for a week, and then, you know, after you overstand your welcome, we kick you out. Which I'm pretty sure after the end of this week, Jason and Sherry will want to do. He's sleeping. Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's thinking about. But just come and stay for eternity. For eternity, my friend. Not just a little moment. Not just for a little second. Not for a week. Not for just however long you feel like being in there. But come and stay for eternity. That's a long time. And that's where I want to be. And I hope that's where you want to be too. If you today are not saved, if you today do not know where you're headed today, let me tell you right now, you can. You can know God. You can find him. He can be found. He is not hidden in religion. He's hidden. He's hidden in the, amongst other religions, other idols, other little things you have to do to get to him. But really, you can never get to him directly. But when you open the word of God, you find the truth. You find the way and you find the life. So my advice to you once again is come and stay, my friend. Come and stay a while. If you're seeking him, I pray that you are. Lord, I do pray that you just bless this evening. Bless every heart that is here. Pray you just open their hearts, Lord. We thank you so much for your word, for the greatness of your salvation. We praise your name. Lift your name on high. In Jesus' name, amen.